Okay, welcome back to another edition of the Vegan Rainbow Show. I'm Bill Houston.
And Mike Hudak. We'll be talking next about an event that's coming up later this week called Meat Out.
And what is Meat Out, Mike?
Well, that's what our guest is going to tell us. This actually marks the 20th year of this event. It's sponsored by the Farm Animal Reform Movement. Meat Out is billed as the world's largest grassroots diet education campaign, and it involves dozens of independently organized activities throughout the United States and several foreign countries. We have as our guest today Dawn Moncrief, the national coordinator of Meat Out. Dawn is originally a hunger activist, and she has a master's degree in international relations and a second master's degree in women's studies. She now advocates a plant-based diet as a common-sense solution for helping the world's hungry, as well as the best practice for all people, animals, and the environment. Dawn, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Great. Hi. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
So, Dawn, could you tell us a little bit about the Farm Animal Reform Movement? I suspect that many of our listeners haven't heard of the organization. And then perhaps you can tell us about some of the other campaigns and events that Farm Animal Reform Movement, or FARM as it's often known, coordinates or sponsors.
Okay, sure. Well, we began in 1976 as the Vegetarian Information Service, and we officially became FARM in 1981, and this is around the same time as the founding of PETA and other animal rights organizations. Essentially, it's the beginning of the modern animal rights movement. You'll see a lot of organizations came to be about that time. And a lot of people, you're right, haven't heard from us unless you're involved in the animal rights movement. A lot more people have heard of Meat Out, and that happens a lot because we don't promote ourselves. We don't do a lot of self-promoting. We put our campaigns out there, and we try to make them available and flexible for individuals and local groups to use. And unlike a lot of other animal rights organizations, we focus primarily on farm animal issues. So while we support the other issues, we focus only on farm animals because the reduction and elimination of animal consumption for food will save the most animals.
Now, as I said, Meat Out is not the only annual event that FARM sponsors. There's several others. And I went through the website and saw that there are several, one of them called World Farm Animal Day.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, sure. Well, in advocating the humane treatment of farm animals and a plant-based diet, we focus on consumer habits, and we have several campaigns that do that. So while the food industry will work very hard to create demand, ultimately they follow demand, and we try to alter that to move away from the consumption of animals and towards a more wholesome plant-based diet. And what we do is we have our biggest campaign, which is Meat Out, which is the largest grassroots diet education campaign. And we have World Farm Animals Day, which is a similar model, which I'll explain in just a second. And then we also have Gentle Thanksgiving, which is not quite as big, but also follows that same model. And what we do as a national organization is we provide information and materials to local groups and individuals throughout all 50 states, and actually it's global now. We've got about at least 20 other countries at any given time that are working on these campaigns with us. And so we'll provide banners, posters, handouts, stickers, coupons. We work with manufacturers to get free samples provided. We do press releases and other types of media outreach. And we send the information to the groups, and then they host events in their local communities. So they can tailor it to whatever specific needs they have, whatever their specific strengths are. They can partner up with local retailers or schools and have the timing and the exact style of it work out to suit them best.
Dawn, I noticed that when you described this, you were talking about a plant-based diet, and I noticed that you didn't say vegetarian. And I know that a lot of people who call themselves vegetarians choose to eat dairy and eggs and sometimes other things as well. Can you talk about why you say plant-based and not vegetarian, which might imply dairy and eggs? So what's the problem with dairy and eggs?
Oh, there's a lot of problems with dairy and eggs. And it's also, it's known as a vegan diet, but a lot of people kind of get stuck up on the labels and terms and stuff. And so that's why we do use more of a descriptive term, plant-based diet. And while we focus on promoting a fully plant-based diet, we also know that people just kind of have to go at their own pace. And so if people are willing to reduce their consumption, that's a great step because every bit counts. Sometimes, again, that's why people will get caught up on the vegetarian versus vegan label. But dairy, a lot of people still have this conception of farming, which affects their meat consumption as well. But they, you know, they think of these cows out in the pasture and this farmer going out and milking the cows and that there's a quality of a life and a relationship to it. But it's a slaughter industry just like anything else. They keep cows perpetually pregnant. They put growth hormones in them so that their udders will get very large and produce more milk. Again, it's all about profit, so how much milk they can get per dollar. And this is also directly related to the veal industry. So when the cows have their calves, they take the boys and they become veal, and they're kept in these small containers and can't move and are deprived of any sunlight and exercise. And then the females become dairy cows as well. And they're weaned away from day one. They don't ever have a chance to have the bond that a mother and a calf would have while they're initially young. And then as soon as their productivity decreases, they become slaughtered meat. It's just a lower quality meat, so it might end up at McDonald's, per se, as opposed to a higher-end type of meat. But it's a slaughter industry just like the rest. And
So vegetarians that think that they aren't contributing to slaughtering by simply consuming dairy products, you would challenge that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's... And it's not any kind of ideological shift. I mean, dairy cows, after they've given so much milk, and it's only a fraction of their lifespan, it's about 7 years or so before they become unprofitable, then they are slaughtered, and the lifespan usually is about 20 years or more. I don't know if you want to talk about eggs also.
Sure.
Okay, so the egg industry is also a slaughter industry. Again, there's a lot of specialization where some birds are bred to become meat directly, and other birds are used to produce eggs, so they're weaned differently, and after the egg production decreases, they are slaughtered. And with the egg production, the male chicks are useless, and so they are literally just thrown away on top of each other until they're smothered to death. And then the females become layers, and so obviously some are used for eggs, but there's also the ones that are hatched. They're kept in cages. They are devoid of light. They're kept in the concrete buildings. Again, it's not your chicks going out and pecking around in the grass. They're in these huge concrete buildings stacked one on top of each other, and it's just an awful way to live. They can't spread their wings. They can't have a social life amongst themselves. And they become so agitated. The factory farming practices today, the animals become so agitated they have to be mutilated because, like, the birds will start pecking each other, so they have to be debeaked without anesthesia. Mm-hmm. The pigs will begin biting each other's tails, so they cut off the tails without anesthesia. Frequently, the animals are castrated. Again, none of it with any kind of pain relief.
Now, a couple other activities that farm is involved with. One is this gentle Thanksgiving. Why don't you just give us a brief description of that?
Okay. Well, again, it follows the format of Meat Out and World Farm Animals Day, where we do outreach to local groups and individuals, and we send them information, try to get them to have a veggie Thanksgiving. And it focuses on choosing a life-affirming, compassionate way to celebrate the holidays, because that's what Thanksgiving's about. We also do a huge media outreach during that time. Some of the other things that we have are the Sabina Fund, which offers grants for projects in the U.S. and abroad. So if you're a small grassroots organization and you need some funding with a special project you got going on, you can apply for that. And we also do the annual Animal Rights National Conference. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting. That brings together about 1,000 activists to learn new skills, network, strategize, and recharge. And unlike our organization where, again, we focus on the farm animal issues, this is to the whole animal rights movement. So we have lots of different speakers on different topics, and we've got actually about 100 speakers, and we run three tracks simultaneously and 90 exhibitors, and it's coming up in July. It's July 8th through 12th. It's in the Washington, D.C. area, and we have early registration discounts happening right now. We also have low-income discounts and staffing opportunities.
I think we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Yes, I have a question for Don. I just started listening about 10 minutes ago, and
I was just, as a teacher in public schools, I'm concerned about school lunches, and maybe you've already discussed this, but does FARM do anything regarding trying to make school lunches healthier and promote maybe vegetarianism on the menu in schools?
Oh, my gosh, I couldn't ask for a better caller. we do, and that's actually one of our campaigns that I had not discussed yet.
Oh, good.
We have a CHOICE campaign, which stands for Consumers for Healthy Options in Children's Education. And this program assists local activists as well as teachers, food service providers, in introducing plant-based meals and nutrition education into the school system. And we have a website called choiceusa.net that has just a tremendous amount of resources you can download and view, and also contact information for contacting our director, Susan Whelan. And we've had some tremendous breakthroughs recently. California just enacted a resolution recommending that schools offer vegetarian options to each child each day.
Besides salad, I hope.
Yeah. but, I mean, even that would be a great step in the right direction. So, in response to that, I mean, that's a recommendation, which carries a lot of weight because it's, you know, the school system recommending it. Mm-hmm. But the Los Angeles Unified School District actually mandated this option. And the CHOICE program is working to enact it, and we're working with manufacturers to get some interesting lunch options that people will actually want to have: soy milk in the school lunches, tofurkey sandwiches, garden burgers, and as well as some other variety of things. And we're actually using this model also in New York mm-hmm. and Florida to pass similar legislature.
Well, good. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
So you are working here in New York then on this?
Yeah, we have several people, both volunteers and some part-time staff working on it in New York.
Are there things that individuals can do?
Yeah, again, please go to the website at choiceusa.net. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of resources. It's a very user-friendly website, and it'll walk you right through the process. And, again, you can also contact our director, Susan Whelan.
What's the date of meet-out again?
The date is March 20th, so it is coming up this Saturday.
Mm.
That's our official day, and it is the first day of spring. It's to represent renewal and life, and events happen, actually, they're happening throughout the week, throughout the month, on or around the 20th is how we bill it, because, again, we want to be very flexible to individuals' needs.
Well, tell us a little bit about the history of Meat Out. It's been going on now since the mid-1980s.
Mm-hmm, since 1985. And it's fashioned after the Great American Smokeout. And it started off as a very small campaign, again, where we do outreach, we try to get people to do events, but it has grown every year. It almost becomes cliche because we're like, oh, new record, you know, we did it again. But every year it's bigger and better. And currently we have about 1,000 events going on in all 50 states, also in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, about 20 other countries. And if anyone's interested in the specifics, we have all the events listed on the website under our events directory, and you can just go to your state, click right on, and it'll list all the cities alphabetically. So it's if you want to find out what's in your area, and even if you want to participate at this last minute, you can still get some materials. It's really easy. Mm-hmm. We have it designed both for individuals who might want to just do a quick and easy information table or leafleting, all the way to the bigger groups who might be planning a large festival and street theater, that kind of thing.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about actually the range of events. Certainly, as you said, people going out and tabling, or I hadn't even thought of someone doing street theater, but... what other kinds of things do you know of that people are doing?
Well, again, the groups can get together, and they have some super big events and festivals, working with grocery stores and working with other groups. That is not for your average activist, but mm-hmm. those are a lot of fun. We also have a lot of people who do lectures at universities, who put on public dinners or cooking demonstrations. There's food sampling. A lot of people will just bring in a veggie lunch to work and have some information available. There's always leafleting, which is very simple. If you're at a university, you can just go put leaflets around if you don't even want to interact with people. But it's a great way to meet potential vegetarians in your community. And then there's the old standby of just having an information table, either at a friendly place that would be a health food store, or if you want to go and set it up next to McDonald's, you can do that as well. And then we host the National Congressional Reception, which will be this Friday, where we take garden burgers, tofurkey sandwiches, tofutti cuties, and we serve about 300 or so congressional members and staffers.
Don, at the intro, Mike mentioned that you originally were a hunger activist. Can you talk about what that is?
Sure. I came to D.C. originally to work on grad school and to become involved in the hunger community here. And my focus was on reducing world hunger. And so that's where the international relations came in. And part of that, when you're studying it, you realize how much discrimination against women contributes to issues of hunger, that women are the primary food providers as well as food makers. They work on subsistence farming and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so I also have a second degree in women's studies where I specifically study the issues of women in less developed countries. And this was the time I was getting to learn. I'd already been vegetarian for personal reasons and for the animal reasons, but I started to learn about the impact of animal agriculture on issues of world hunger. Animals are extremely inefficient converters of food. It takes much, much more to feed them than they produce. About 16 pounds plant-based food is needed to produce 1 pound of beef. And that doesn't include the water, that doesn't include the electricity, the transportation. There's a lot of the politics that go around with that. But anyway, it's basically a luxury item of the wealthy, even though it's eaten so much excess in the U.S. and industrialized country that it's killing us at the same time. But once you start realizing that the connections are there, because a lot of people think, well, you have to eat meat to be healthy. But once you realize the impact and how it's draining resources and it's polluting the environment and that factory farms are being shifted over to less developed countries where they don't have environmental regulations and it's undermining subsistence farming and the food is being exported to the wealthier countries, then it all ties together, and there's just not enough focus. There's starting to be more focus on the issues of plant-based diets within the hunger community, but it's still just a given that people want to eat meat and people need meat, and so my purpose is to make those connections more mainstream and to bring the issues to light. And there's a Global Hunger Alliance works on these issues, and there's a couple more organizations that are starting to focus on them more.
I saw that that was another link on your website, the Global Hunger Alliance. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Okay, well, that's how I got involved with FARM specifically, is during the World Food Summit, I was volunteering with the Global Hunger Alliance and helped stage an education rally in D.C. With different lectures about the politics of factory farming and animal agriculture and the issues related to world hunger. The Global Hunger Alliance specifically is about 100 different organizations that promote sustainable plant-based options for increasing global food security. People don't really understand that scarcity is an issue in the global food community. You think there's plenty of food to eat, they're just not getting it. But that's not true. If everybody was to eat a diet of a U.S. proportions with the meat, there's not enough, and it's increasingly an issue. And so instead of using technology to try to make food more abundant in any particular yield, the idea is if you switch to a plant-based diet, you can just feed people directly instead of feeding animals first.
Mm-hmm. Are there any successes yet in some of these developing nations to stop the construction of these factory farms?
Well, it's a yes and a no. For everything you win, there's something else that comes in and gives you a new battle to fight. There is an increasing awareness of it. Our Sabina Fund funds a lot of the groups that are working on these issues within their own communities. We're behind on the curve. Meat consumption is decreasing in the U.S. Trends may be shifting a little bit with Atkins, but it was definitely on the decrease, and people are starting to kind of come around a little bit on the Atkins. But globally, it was increasing because as people in less developed countries started having more money, they would eat higher up on the food chain. So we get pluses and minuses.
But it's my impression that much of this meat that would be produced in factory farms in developing countries would be exported to Europe, Asia, the United States?
Yes.
And so I would think that this would tend to increase hunger in these developing countries. Are there any studies by the UN or some other agency showing that this would be the case?
The Global Hunger Alliance website, which is globalhunger.net, has a lot of information about the details of that. I don't know if the UN or, again, these higher-up organizations, it's still coming from a nonprofit perspective at this time that's really focusing on the social concerns and is not tied in with agribusiness.
Jeff has a question for you, Dawn.
Okay.
Hi, Dawn. How are you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, I was looking at your website, I guess both of the websites. You have the Meat Out website and the Farm website?
Yeah, the Farm is a portal website where you can get to all the campaigns through it. And then each campaign has its own website.
Okay. And well, one thing I was curious about is I noticed that in the Meat Out website, you talk a little bit about the environmental costs to eating meat,
mm-hmm.
and some of the problems that are associated with that. But I don't see much about the problems with ecologically sustainable farming methods. I mean, there are plenty of plant-based options out there that are not necessarily sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for example, maybe these garden burgers utilizing processed foods and agribusinesses that are promoting this stuff and profiting off of it isn't necessarily ecologically sustainable, and use of fast foods in our culture. So I was just wondering, do you tie that in as well?
We do not specifically tie it in. We are very aware of the issues. We're very sensitive to the issues. Switching to a plant-based culture is not a panacea. It's not going to immediately mean, oh, great, well, we have all these extra food resources. The hungry automatically get it. It just makes more available and reduces waste. It doesn't do anything about monocultures, which are not very sustainable, and there's all kinds of issues with that. It doesn't ensure that you're going to use organic, sustainable methods to create those plants. We are certainly in favor of that. It's a toss-up sometimes about what you focus on and if we start getting into too many issues, what people get distracted from. So we are in favor of it. We do not address it on the Meat Out website. And it's something that maybe, you know, we probably have some links to it, mm-hmm. to things of that nature, but we don't focus on it because we're nervous about people getting distracted from organic versus just going plant-based and what the issues are.
Right, right. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bill, do you have any questions for our guest yet?
The Sabina Fund, can you talk about maybe some of the activities? I know you mentioned a couple of the activities that Sabina Fund is involved in.
Okay, well, it's project-based, so we get a variety of different applicants. We've been doing a lot of work in India and Uganda. We have coalitions that we're supporting. We also have a lot of U.S. organizations. Some of the past things we funded are TV spots. We had a local group who was able to get extremely cheap TV spots, so we sent them a grant so that they were able to publish a lot of them. We do vegetarian starter kits. We do displays. Anything that kind of comes across is that you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck, or if local groups need startup money, a lot of times, you know, a little bit can go a long way when you're new. Again, anything on the website, which is farmusa.org, that is our main website, and you can portal into any of these campaigns, and it'll give you the details of the projects we've been supporting. Should I mention a little bit more about Meat Out as far as our vegetarian starter kits that we have available?
Sure.
Okay. With Meat Out, we do a lot of promoting of the free vegetarian starter kit, and so that's for anybody who comes by and signs up at an event, but you don't have to sign up at an event. You can also just give us a call or log on to our website at meatout.org, and we'll send you out a free vegetarian starter kit, which has some basic ideas on how to get started, reasons why you should get started, some very good website resources, and you can also sign up for Meat Out Mondays. This is a new campaign we started last year, which is a weekly e-newsletter. It's very colorful. It's a lot of fun. It's got a recipe, inspiration, nutrition information, and it's all absolutely free. So if you're interested in getting the newsletter or the vegetarian starter kit, again, just call 800-MEAT-OUT or meatout.org, and we'd love to send you some and get you started.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dawn.
All right. Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Bye. And this has been The Vegan Rainbow, and we'll see you next week at the same time, Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. And see you later, Mike.
Yep. See you later, Bill.
Bye.